Being on staff here has been great. I am truly blessed to be here. And so a couple weeks ago, we were having a meeting, and I said, what if we did a sermon series? And as I've been preparing this message, I've been kind of kicking myself in the head onto why I spoke up, because 1 John has challenged me so much. And so maybe I just won't speak up again. But go ahead and turn to 1 John. We're going to be chapter 1, 5 through 10. And on your way there, if you could just listen to me, that would be great. So last week, Brother Michael talked about the word of life and how Jesus is the eternal life. Michael said that John said that we have seen it and we have touched it. Moving forward today, I have a question that I want you to think about. What are you loyal to? What are you loyal to? I asked the youth what they were loyal to last Wednesday. And I asked them, I said, are you loyal to school? And some of them said no. But what are you loyal to? Are you loyal to your family? Are you loyal to a team? I know it's towards the end of baseball season. I had in my sermon notes, if I was going to ask if y'all are loyal to the Cardinals, but I know they lost. So, but are you loyal to the Cowboys? Are you loyal to the Chiefs, the Broncos? How about your church? Are you loyal to the church? Are you loyal to Victory? Loyalty is a big deal to us, and we may not be loyal to the same things, but we are loyal to the things that we care about the most, what's most important to us. I can remember being in elementary school, and my dad would be late picking me up from school, and I would just start crying because I thought that he had forgotten me. You guys, I remember being terrified because I thought, oh no, I'm going to stay at school forever. At least that's one of my thoughts, but I was so loyal. I remember, and I still am so loyal to my family. Another thing that I was loyal to was sports. I loved playing sports, and it had my heart so much that I can remember not wanting to play sports, but having my identity so wrapped up in it that I felt like I couldn't quit. We can be loyal to a lot of things, but are we most loyal to God? Is He our King? Is He our everything? That is what I want to tackle today. Because the last thing I want you to do is for us to miss the point of life with God. So please stand. We're going to read 1 John 5 through 10. Oh, great. It's up there. All right. It says this. This is the message we have heard from you, heard from Him, and proclaim to you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sins. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, just thank You for Your word. Father, I just pray that tonight that, you know, Your words are heard, not mine, that we can all learn from this passage of Scripture. Father, I just pray that, again, we set aside what's going on and just can focus on You and just Your goodness and focus on getting close to You. It's in Your name I pray. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Within this text, I want to focus on three things. I want to talk about three things. I want to talk about what it means that God is light, what it means for our lives, and then what not to do. Okay? This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you that God is light. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. You can almost read that backwards. True practice of walking in light is fellowship with God. This is going to fall off of me. Because God is life, if we believe in Jesus. Now, how do we get that God is light and life? What does that mean? So let's look at 1 John 1 through 4 with an emphasis on verse 4. I'm going to read it. You don't have to look it up. But with an emphasis on verse 4. It says this: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Light of men. Last week, Brother Michael said that when God created man, it was the first time that He didn't say it was good. Man is not good. Verse 4 gives the implication that man lives in darkness without Jesus. But how do we walk in the light? So let's look at John 8:12. It says this: again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. There is no darkness in God. God is perfect. He is flawless. Whoever follows God, whoever follows Jesus, walks in the light. Following Jesus allows us to walk in the light and allows us to have the light. It's ours, and it's through His death, burial, and resurrection that we get to follow Him. So choose to follow Jesus. We ought to follow Jesus like a toddler when they are out of their mom and dad's hands, crying, screaming, kicking, trying to get back to their mom and dad. At least that's what toddlers do when I have them. They don't want to be in my hands. John 12:36, while you have the light, believe in the light that you may become the light. Follow Jesus. Believe in Jesus. The light being God in Jesus. Believe in it that you may become it. We can see the light. We can be the light. So how is your fellowship with God? Do you believe in Jesus? Have you fully accepted Him in your heart? Can you remember the moment when you accepted Jesus in your heart? Can you go back to that day, that moment? Because if you do not have Jesus, you're walking in darkness. And I don't know about you, but darkness is scary. And you know, I'm from Conway, Arkansas, but I talk about Biscoe and I talk about my grandparents on my mom's side because it felt like we were there all the time. I mean, every Sunday, it just felt like we were there. That's just what I remember. Now, when it got dark in Biscoe, playtime was over. It wasn't like it was in Conway. See, Conway, the nighttime, you know, there's street lights, you know, there's other friends around, you know, my neighbor's not a mile, my neighbor's just right next to me. It was great. I could see everything. I'd be out there with my brother and sister. In Biscoe, in Des Arc, when it was nighttime, playtime was over because you couldn't see anything. You can't do anything without the light. In darkness, you cannot do anything. You can try, but you can't get very far. I'm still scared of the dark. I'm not afraid to admit that. I'm scared, still scared to take out the trash, being 27. You know? I cannot wait until the sun rises in the morning. And I get bummed out when the sun sets in the evening. Because the day is over. I like the light. You cannot do anything in the darkness. You do not have life in the darkness. John 11:10 says, but if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. So do you follow Jesus? Have you accepted Him? And are you close to Him? See, the darkness is living without Jesus, but my, we like to live without making Jesus our priority sometimes. So you heard me in the beginning, and I asked you a question, what are you loyal to? Loyalty does not matter if you don't have Jesus. If I don't spend time with Jesus, I can have the light. But sometimes, when I'm not doing that, when I'm not spending time with Him, I'm just hiding my light. I choose to hide it. Yes, I go to church, but let me hang out with the wrong crowd. Yes, I love the Lord, but let me do my own thing throughout the week. You ever tell someone that you want to spend time with them, that you love them, but then you don't spend time with them? There's no way that person feels like you care about them if you're not spending time with them. You are not too young. I tell this to my youth group all the time. I say to the youth group, to the youth, to the kids, to the children, I say, you are not too young to start taking Jesus seriously. You are not too young to start making Jesus your priority. You're not too young to have a quiet time. You're not too young to pray. You're not too young. So I say that to you. You're not too young. You're not too old. You're not too messed up to follow Jesus and to take Him seriously. There's nothing in your life that can hold you back from taking Him seriously. You just have to decide for yourself. It can be very tempting to read this text and to think that, you know, you need to be perfect. That's not what this is saying. You look at verse 6 and 7, it says the opposite. It says you're not perfect. Verse 6, it says, if we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. In verse 7, John gives the implication of two things. One, if we have fellowship with one another meaning each other, one another meaning God and Jesus, we walk in the light. Amen. We know that. But now he says, the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sins. To walk in the light is to be cleansed from all sin. So sin, yes, is a part of fellowship with Jesus. Jesus wants to wash you. He wants to cleanse you from it. I have sin, but if I do not have Jesus, I'm walking in darkness. But if I have the light, I must understand that I have sin. And I most importantly should understand that Jesus has cleansed me with His blood. If you do not understand those concepts, you cannot understand the gospel. Jesus' blood cleanses us from our sins. You are sinful. I'm not trying to tell you that you're sinful. The Bible will tell you that we are sinful. That is pivotal to the Christian journey. And I would say that is pivotal to starting a foundation of the Christian journey. Also, if I say I do not have sin, if I say I do not sin, I am walking in darkness. Verse 8 and verse 10, we're going to look at those. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. The truth being the light, being God, is not in us. Because the truth frees us. We do not share sonship with God. And then in verse 10 it says, if we have not sinned, we make Him a liar. And His word is not in us. John is writing to these people and he is saying, look, if you do not say you have sinned, you are foolish. You are ignorant of God. And no, God is not lying, but if you say you have not sinned, it is evident that you do not believe in God. And you do not trust Jesus. And have not repented. Sometimes we get caught being foolish. We get boastful in our own selves. And while we may dodge the thought of saying, I don't need God, I don't need repentance, we allow ourselves, our actions, to sometimes portray that we are above sinning. Some of you are looking at me thinking, what? But if we are not careful, we can allow pride to get in the way of our relationship with Jesus. We can allow pride to put away the humility that we should have to come to the feet of Jesus. Let me say that again. We can allow pride to get in the way of the humility that we should have to come to the feet of Jesus. Someone asks you how you're doing, you say, great. When you're not doing great. In your accountability group, someone asks you what you're struggling with, you say nothing. And a matter of fact, when someone else has issues they are sharing, you look down upon them. You think less of them. You're so caught up in your own self that you're not loving others. And when you're not loving others, you're not loving God. Because loving God is loving others. When I was doing campus ministry at Arkansas Tech with other college students, I would get so frustrated with them because I did not think that they were taking God seriously. I did not think they were taking Jesus seriously. And one day I met with Kelly Roach, and as I was telling him what was going on, I'll never forget his words. We were at Stobie's eating breakfast. Kelly got the train wreck. I got the blast. Kelly got water and a coffee. I got a Diet Coke. It was great. And it was great because Kelly paid for it. And because I love Stobies. Kelly also got the jelly, too. Put the jelly on the train wreck. I know you, man. I know you. It was delicious. But I was telling Kelly how frustrated I was with the college ministry. And he said, Josh, you have to worry about yourself. Do not get wrapped up in what other people are doing. Don't get focused on what other people are doing. Focus on your relationship with Jesus. Because your relationship with Jesus isn't perfect. And it was like something had clicked in me. I'm not above reproach, and the life I live isn't better than the next. So one, God is liked. Two, follow God. Believe in Jesus with everything that you have. You've seen the light, you can be the light. And three, not think that your own life, not think that your own sin should not be dealt with. Yes, you have sin. But here's how we remain true. Here's how we remain in the light. In verse 9, it says this. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we do not confess, He is not faithful and just to forgive us. We must confess our sins. If we do not confess, He is not faithful and just to forgive us. We have to confess our sins, y'all. We must repent. So where does your loyalty lie? If you're a child of God, your loyalty must lie in the light. It cannot lie in the practice of getting by. You have to confess your sins, y'all. Hebrews 10:26 says, if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of truth, there no longer remains sacrifice for sins. But you do not have to go on sinning deliberately. We cannot live a life without not coming to the feet of Jesus. We have to come to the feet of Jesus and ask God to forgive us for where we're failing, y'all. We have to. It is essential to the Christian life. It is essential to ask God to forgive you. He will forgive you. So I plead with you to repent. I plead with you to turn away from what you're doing that is disobedient. Repentance is the act of leaving what God has prohibited and returning to what God has commanded. Love God, love people. We're going to have a verse of invitation. And if you're here today and you're dealing with sin, or you just have sin, or you just haven't repented in a while, or just whatever's going on, listen, you can come up here and let's pray together. I want to walk with you through that. Also, you can stay right there where you are at your seat. Ask God to forgive you. You can lay your sins at the feet of Jesus and ask God to forgive you, and He will. You just have to do it. Or maybe you're here and you don't know Jesus for yourself. Maybe you're here and you're still walking in the darkness because you don't have the light. You can choose to trust in Jesus today if that is you. Or maybe you're here and you don't have a church home. You don't have the accountability. Victory is a great church. We would love to have you here. We would love to be a part of your lives. We would love to hold you accountable. We would love to walk in the light with you. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for showing us what the light is, how to live in it. And Lord, help us to live in it. Make us bold. Help us to not be timid, God. Help us to not be tempted, Lord. Jesus, we love you. It's in your name I pray. Amen.